Blog Talk Radio.
This is Wealth Zone Radio, featuring Teresa R. Martin Esquire, part of the Coco Express Network, a show dedicated to financial literacy, generational wealth, investing, ownership, and so much more. Your journey starts right now.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wealth Zone Radio, your premier venue to educate and inspire individuals nationwide to pursue generational wealth and provide you access to leaders in various industries that will help you and enable you to act now. I am Attorney Teresa Martin, your host, and today we are privileged and honored to have with us Joe Bonador from Note School. And Joe is excellent at providing us information. He has been investing in his first property since the age of 19, and he learned the importance of creative financing, which I tell you all that this is the best way to get into real estate. And since then, he's been creating and brokering more than $30 million in note transactions on residential and commercial properties. He's an author, he's a speaker, he's a trainer, and for the past 25 years, he's actually been helping people understand how to get into real estate investing using non-performing notes and acquire properties and seller financing to cash out. Joe is here with us this evening, and he's going to discuss the business of buying notes and why we should be looking at buying notes as an income opportunity for real estate portfolios. So without further ado, let's welcome Joe Bonador. Joe, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I am here, Teresa, and I just want to thank you for having me on this evening. Yes, the note business is a very exciting business to be in, especially right now. You know, I say that if you don't know real estate notes, that you better learn them within the next 5 years, because the industry is changing so rapidly because of all of the things that have happened over the last 5 years or so. So, yeah, we want to strap in our seatbelts tonight and take some notes, and we'll learn what the note business is really about.
And I know for myself, I mean, as a foreclosure attorney, I understand the idea of mortgages, and I understand about the notes and things of that sort. But as far as note buying and the business of notes, can you just start from the very basic? What is a note? Explain that to our audience.
Okay, that sounds good, and that's a great question and a great place to start. Well, as we all know, when you buy a piece of real estate, and if you go to your local bank and you apply for a loan to buy the property, at closing, you're going to sign a lot of documents. But the most important thing is really going to be the promissory note. There's a mortgage, which is the security instrument, and then there's the promissory note, which is the promise to pay. So you're going to sign those things, and really what's enforceable on that is the promissory note. So once we have that, and understand that whether you borrow money from a lender, from a bank, to purchase a property, but you can also borrow the money from the seller of the property as well. So, Teresa, if I were going to sell you a house that I own, and maybe I've bought it as a rundown property, and I rehab it, and I put, you know, my time and I put my money in it, and you come to me and say, Joe, I want to buy that house, and I say, well, Teresa, I may not want to, I don't want all the cash right now, so why don't I finance that for you? Maybe you can give me 10, 15, 20% down, and I'll finance it for you. We'll still do a mortgage, and you'll still sign the promissory note. And instead of making payments to a bank, you'll make those payments directly to me. And that will benefit me because I can defer some of my capital gains tax on that sale, because I'd only have to, you know, pay the taxes as I receive them. If I didn't need the cash right now, I would be getting better than market rate or better than interest rates on a savings account or a CD. If I charge you 6, 7%, 8, 88% as far as an interest rate. And you would be able to, you wouldn't have to go to the bank and go through all of that long, arduous process in order to make this work. So that's really a promissory note is nothing more than a promise to pay. So that's really what it is.
Wow. So, and the way you explained it, as far as if I was, you know, going to rehab a property and the seller didn't need all his monies up front and he actually held the note, so that is what you mean by seller financing, as far as?
That is seller financing, and it's bare bones, yeah. And there are a lot of people, and we know there's some big stats out there in the industry right now, but it tells us that about half of the people that go to a bank and apply for a loan right now to buy a property, well, they get turned down because maybe their credit, you know, has been challenged over this whole economic thing that we've been going through. Maybe their debt to income is out of whack. So this just allows us to be able to offer financing to everyone, because understand that, you know, you may have some damaged credit. You're a great person. But, you know, you're not bankable as far as, you know, having a FICO score of, you know, 700, 750 or whatever that the banks are looking for. But you just had something bad happen to you during this crisis, and you've always paid your bills up to then. You got through it. And so I just say, hey, Teresa, I don't really want all the money right now, so why don't I finance it for you? You'll make a monthly payment to me. It's no different than making a payment to the bank. You're just going to make it to me. Hey, and if you don't pay me, it's going to be the same process as if you had a bank loan and you didn't pay the bank. Well, then I would, you know, foreclose on you just like the bank would foreclose on you as well. So it's just a very easy, simple process that where I finance you instead of you going to the bank. And I'll tell you what it does. It opens up the opportunity to many more buyers out there, that if you're strictly A, looking for a cash buyer, or B, you're looking for somebody that's going to be able to go to the bank and qualify. Because you know, Teresa, how tough it is right now if you try to go to a bank to get a loan. And we know that most people are, you know, a good percent. And out of that 50% that I mentioned a few minutes ago, I truly believe that it's kind of like the unemployment figures. You know, they say, well, unemployment's only 10, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10%. But what about the people that have just decided they can't find a good job anymore, so they're not even in the numbers? And it's the same way here. People just don't go because to the lenders or to the banks because they just don't think they can get finance. So it's pretty high right now. So this just kind of gives everybody an opportunity to go in and buy a property and go to the qualification property with me, or property with me, instead of having to go to a bank.
Exactly. Okay, and I think that's a fantastic way to look at that. And so with the understanding about the note, you know, let's talk about the different types of notes. I know that there are non-performing versus performing. Can you just go into what is a non-performing note?
Yeah, and, you know, that's a great question. And you know, back in 2008, everything kind of imploded. And, you know, the banks, we had a lot of bank failures. We had a lot of people that lost almost all of their entire savings through the stock market crash, and things kind of turned south pretty quickly. And, you know, one of the things that you know, we kind of banter around back and forth about note school, and I truly believe this is the case, but if the real estate market hadn't have crashed back in 2008, I don't know if there would have been a floor as far as how far that real estate prices would have fallen. And I say that because when the market crashed, the individual investors like you and I, we got scared of the stock market, and we pulled the money out of the stock, or put a lot of money out of the stock market. As a matter of fact, on the 2 days after the market crashed in September of 2008, it was $100 billion taken out of the stock market in 2 days. And right now that we know there's about $7 trillion sitting on the sidelines waiting for some place to go. So anyway, that's just kind of an aside there. So what happens with a non-performing note, and what is a non-performing note? And by the way, we at Note School, we have a research department, and we use CoreLogic. We use the Realty Track out of California. We use all of the different major financial publications to source our information. And what we know, excuse me, right now is that there are about 10 million non-performing notes in the U.S. Now, non-performing notes meaning that they're past due at least 30 days or more. They could be past due 2, 3, 4, 5 years as well. So here's what's been happening in that business. About 2 years ago, the big banks decided that on the lower price band properties, and when I'm talking about lower price band properties, I'm talking about properties that have a value of $150,000 or less. So the banks finally figured out that, hey, you know, we've got these loans we've been carrying on our books. They're not paying. The borrowers aren't paying. Some of them have abandoned the home. Some of them are still living there. Heck, we see non-performing loans every day that people have lived in them for 4 or 5 years and haven't made a payment on them. So what the banks decided is that they were just going to stop foreclosing on the lower price band properties, again, the properties that are $150,000 in value or less. So what they decided was that they could bundle those non-performing loans that they have on their book. And by the way, let me kind of take one step back real quick. We know that a non-performing loan is a loan that the borrower has stopped making payments on. Okay? So they could be one payment, two payments, 10 payments, 60 payments past due on the loan. So anyway, the banks decided that it was just too costly to go through the process of foreclosing. Once they foreclosed and owned the property, then they would have to keep the property up, keep it mowed, make sure that they're winterized if they're in the north, make sure that, you know, nobody's vandalizing the properties, all of those different things. So they decided they would bundle these up in packages of anywhere from 500 to 1,000 non-performing notes and sell them at a real deep discount to hedge funds. Okay? So these hedge funds are buying these non-performing notes directly from the lenders. Now, their hedge funds are buying these notes for pennies on the dollar on the unpaid balance. So they may pay for a note or a pool of notes that has a unpaid balance of $10 million on this pool of 300, 400, 500 notes. They may pay about 10% of that. They may pay $1 million for these $100 million. These $10 million worth of loans. So they're buying them for pennies on the dollar. And what that does for the bank, yes, they're taking a big discount, but they don't have to deal with those non-performing loans anymore. They don't have to worry about the foreclosure process and so on. So the bank stopped foreclosing. They packaged the non-performing loans into bundles, pools, portfolios, and sell them for pennies on the dollar to the hedge funds. And that's what's happening. And that's one of the things, because when I go out and I talk at a real estate investment club, you know, one of the first questions I ask is, hey, guys, are you having problem finding REO properties, real estate-owned properties, properties that the banks have foreclosed on in the lower price band? And overwhelmingly, the answer that I get is, yes, where have all the REOs gone? And the answer is that the banks have stopped foreclosing. As a matter of fact, we know right now that in the U.S., that there is about somewhere between 300,000 and 400,000 REOs, bank-owned properties, left in the system. And we know that there's 10 million non-performing loans. So when people say, well, where have the REOs gone? Well, the banks just aren't foreclosing on them anymore, so they don't have them on their books to sell. And the crazy thing is that the REOs that are out there right now, the banks are getting anywhere from, well, the discounts are very small. The banks are getting about 78 to 87 cents on the dollar on those REOs that they own, compared with virtually pennies on the dollar for the non-performing notes that they're selling to the hedge funds.
I don't want to interrupt you. So
no.
Basically, what you're describing is that this can be a very lucrative opportunity for a real estate investor. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because once the hedge funds have bought these pools of non-performing loans, they have they have groups of asset managers that work for them, and some of the names that are out there of these hedge funds that we're talking about, they're private equity firms. You've got Granite, you've got Condor, you've got Allied, you've got a number of different groups out there, hedge funds, that own these. So once the hedge funds buy these loans from the bank and they have them, basically, if you have the right kind of specialized knowledge, you can call these hedge funds, and you will get on their list, and you will receive a pool or a small pool of these non-performing assets. Now, let me kind of qualify that real quickly, Teresa, by saying that are there a lot of non-performing loans that the hedge fund set would have in, say, you know, in your neck of the woods in New York City? Well, probably not, because – you know, there aren't a lot of low price band properties in New York City, are there?
No.
Absolutely not. But what we do see is in the outlying areas. Now, we know the 17 hardest-hit states, you know, the ones that have recovered the best, and by the way, I live in Florida, so Florida was one of the hardest-hit states, California, Nevada, Arizona. Those hardest hit states have recovered very quickly because of, you know, one thing, and that one thing that those have in common is sunshine. You know, people want to live in, or retire, you know, in the sunshine generally. So the hardest hit states that where we see the biggest group of non-performing loans right now would be in states like Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, North and South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, some of those states. There's a few others, and I can't, you know, think of the names that run off the top of my head, but a lot of the non-performing notes are going to be in those areas, as well as some of the outlying areas outside of New York City, northern, like Syracuse and Rochester, and places like that where, you know, where the real estate prices aren't as high and insulated as they are in New York City. So the first thing that people kind of have to get over when they're dealing in a non-performing space is simply that the property isn't going to be in their backyard. But in just a few minutes, we'll talk about how you can have component services or servicing companies that will do all this work, as little or as much work as they want to have done. So what happens next? You get with the hedge funds, you get a small pool of loans, and you look at those and you determine which of those you want to bid on. And the great thing is, and what we're finding, Teresa, is that the assets or the non-performing loans that our students are able to buy, and myself included, is we're paying about 10 to 40 cents on the dollar on the balance of the loan. So here's what that looks like. You've got a house that's, well, let's say that it's worth $100,000 now, and the property owner owes $140,000 on it, okay, which we all know that there's, you know, a lot of properties are still way underwater. So you've got $100,000 value. You've got a $140,000 balance. So we would be able to pick that non-performing loan up from somewhere between $15,000 and $40,000. So literally, that's pennies on the dollar. Now, the question that I always get is, well, what happens, you know, I know how to buy a house. You know, you simply go out and look at it, and you get a BPO or a broker price opinion or an appraisal on it, and you go from there. Well, if I'm looking I'm buying the loan on the property, the non-performing loan, I'm not buying the property. But here, there's only three things, Teresa, that can happen when you buy a non-performing loan. The first thing is, and what we found is about 40% of the time, is that if the people are still living in the property, and about 40%, 50% of the time, they still are, that we can work with them and modify that loan to something that makes sense. Now, could the banks have modified the loan for them? They could have, but for some reason they just chose not to. So if I were to buy this non-performing loan on this house that's worth $100,000 for $25,000, and I said to that homeowner, look, you want to be here, you want to stay here. What if I lowered the balance on the loan or your unpaid balance from $140,000 down to $100,000, and we just kind of re-amortized it over 30 years? Now, would most people jump at that? And the answer is they live there is they absolutely would. A lot of these people, well, you know, if you get three payments fast due on your house, Teresa, you really the bank doesn't want. I can't call them up and make just one payment. They want the entire fast due amount, which is crazy, right? I have never understood that, Teresa. I can call and say, well, I can make one payment. I just can't make three. Well, you're $10,000 behind. But I can pay you $2,000. They won't take it. They just won't take it. So if I could lower your balance and modify that loan and get you paying again, would that would be a great thing, and people are very happy. I mean, does that make sense, Teresa?
That makes absolute sense. But on the flip side to that, you know, the modification, that works for people who actually want to modify and things of that sort. But, you know,
that's right.
Many people out there that's listening and, you know, they thought about getting into notes, but many new note buyers, they're afraid of that big F word, foreclosure.
Foreclosure, that's right. Well, you Teresa, know. You're not scared of the foreclosure word because
no,
you deal with them every day. That's right. But so let's kind of go through the process here. So about 40% of the time, if they're still there, we can modify the loan. Well, if we can't, maybe they won't even talk to us. So if we can't modify the loan, then we would simply try to get them to sign the deed over to us in lieu of foreclosure. And if they've moved on, and if we can get a hold of them, then we can simply say, hey, I know you've moved on. I know that you mentally have checked out of that property, but you know that property is still in your name. So if you'll just sign the deed over to me, then I won't foreclose on you. I won't come after you for any type of deficiencies. I will just let you out of it, and you're done. We'll send you the release, and we'll sign it, and you won't owe us a thing. You're just done with the property. And so about 40% of the time, we know that from our experience at med school that they'll sign a deed in lieu. Now, if we can't get a modification, if we can't get the property owner to sign the deed in lieu of foreclosure, well, then we can go to that F word, and that F word is foreclosure. And so you know that, New York is kind of like Florida. I mean, it takes a little longer in New York to do a foreclosure than it does, say, in Missouri. I did a foreclosure recently. We literally, it took about 60, 70 days for the whole process to go through and cost about $3,000. So
our New York process, just, you know, I'm sure that most landlords or anyone who is holding, you know, property or, you know, sellers or banks, they would love to be there, because here in New York, it's about, you know, 12 months is like normal.
Absolutely.
And then 18, I have a client, because I do foreclosure defense, and I have a client who hasn't paid, and we've been in the foreclosure process for 36 months.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that's what we found. It's very similar in Florida, you know, that we've had with Florida and New York are two of the most difficult states to foreclose in. And here's what you do. You just don't buy non-performing loans in those two states. That's just the easiest way to get around that, and you just don't have to fool with them, even though some of our students, Teresa, have gone through that process in New York and really have made, you're talking about bigger dollars, so they've been able to make considerable amounts of money. But the key of non-performing notes is simply this. You're buying that asset for literally pennies on the dollar. I mean, imagine being able to buy, if you could buy a house, buy the property for 20 to 25 cents on the dollar, 15 to 25 cents on the dollar. I'll give you a quick example. A good friend of one of our students, and he's become a very good friend of mine, his name is Justin Wagner. He lives in Ohio. He bought a loan on a non-performing loan on a house in, I think it was in Zanesville, Ohio. Anyway, he bought the non-performing loan for $2,000. Now, the balance on the loan was about $90,000.
this was a little house that, and by the way, the lady that lived there had lived there for 30 years. Somebody had talked her into refinancing it, one of her children or something like that, and they were going to use the money to open a business. Well, long story short is they never paid her back. So she was stuck with this big mortgage of $90,000 on this little house. But, you know, in 2007, it was worth $100,000. But today, it's really worth about $60,000. And Dustin bought that note for $2,000. When he contacted her, she says, "Oh, no, I want to live in this house. I don't want to lose my house." She said, "What can we do?" And she said, "Oh, by the way, GMAC, GMAC, who owned the loan, had offered her to settle that for $20,000 about a year prior to Dustin buying that." Well, heck, if she had $20,000, she would have caught up on the payments, right? So, you know, she didn't have the long story short. Anyway, Justin bought the note for $2,000, and it cost him another couple of thousand dollars. They modified the loan. He dropped the balance from $92,000 to $60,000, and when they modified it, she said, "I cannot pay more than $500 a month, so if you can get my payment at $500 a month, I'm golden," and here it goes. So that's what he did. He re-amortized it over 30 years at $500 a month. I can't remember just exactly what the interest rate ended up being, but it didn't matter. He had a lady who wanted to stay in the house. So once that note was modified, now that she's paying again on time, now you have a re-performing note. So that's a good thing. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But on the non-performing side, here's the way that I look at it, and that is simply this. If I were, like most investors that look at properties to buy, so let's say I find a property that has an ARV, an after-repaired value of $150,000, and I run my numbers, and I can buy that house, the cheapest I can buy that house for is about $100,000. So I'm getting a 33% discount in that case. So I'm buying it for, you know, a third less than it's worth. But then I've got to rehab that. I've got to have the $100,000 or borrow the $100,000 in order to buy that house. Then I've got to find money to rehab that house. And let's say it's going to cost $20,000 to rehab it, or $25,000. So now I've got $125,000 in that property that's worth $150,000. And I've got some holding costs, and I've got to pay the taxes and insurance and all of that while I'm repairing it. And let's say that I have $135,000 in it, which I've got to have that money. I've got to have that cash. And then I sell it for $150,000. Well, I've made $15,000. But what if I can buy that non-performing loan on that house for $20,000 to $25,000? The place is still worth $150,000, but I've bought it for literally pennies on the dollar. So, even if it's out of state, and what I generally do when I buy notes all over non-performing, but when you buy it for $25,000, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll find a local investor wherever that property is located that's a cash buyer for that. He wants to pick it up. He wants to rehab it and then resell it. Well, even if I sold that note to him or the property, once I get it back, once I get a deed in lieu, if I can't modify it, modification is a great thing, but if I can't modify it, I have to get the deed in, I get the deed in lieu of foreclosure, or I foreclose. Regardless, I've got the property. Does that make sense? If I modify it, I've got a re-performing note. If I get the deed in lieu or if I foreclose, I own the property now.
That's phenomenal. And so you basically told us the main difference between buying a note versus buying the property.
Right. And if I bought that note for $25,000, I can turn around and sell it to a local investor. Let's say the note's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Same type of scenario. I found by making a few phone calls, I found a local cash investor, sold him the property for $50,000, and I made $25,000 in a short period of time. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to rehab it and resell it. And if he resells it for $150,000, he's made a big chunk of money. But I bought the non-performing loan, got through the foreclosure process, and owned the property, then sold the property. And, I mean, that's where it takes the guesswork out of it.
it takes having to invest so much money in order to make such a small profit.
On that side, now I understand that, and I'm sure you can see the benefit of non-performing. People not paying, the bank want to unload, the hedge funds want to unload, whatever the case may be, that is discount. Now, on the flip side of that, how would I make money from a performing note? Because I'm, the performing note would be on time, I'm presuming. And wouldn't that be more money? Wouldn't that be more difficult to get into? And wouldn't you have to have more resources, et cetera, et cetera? So tell me about the performing note.
That's great. And that's 24, 25 years ago when I started, that's where I started, was performing loans. And Teresa, let's go back to what I first talked about when I said, I had a house, I rehabbed it, and instead of you going to the bank, I financed it for you, okay? And you're paying me $1,000 a month for the next 30 years. Okay. So let's say that you've paid me on time for the last 3 years. And what I'm going to talk about real quick right now is brokering notes. So there's several different opportunities and ways to make money on the performing side. So in this case, you've paid me for 3 years, and you've been paying me that $1,000 a month, and that's great. And you still owe me $90,000, let's say, on that balance. So I find another investment that I want to make, and I go, gosh, I've been getting that $1,000 a month from Teresa, and she's been paying great, and she still owes me $90,000. I'd sure like to have a lump sum of cash, because $1,000 a month isn't like having $70,000, $80,000 in a lump sum of cash to go do something else with. So if there are many ways to find people like me who own notes, and by doing courthouse research, going online, you can do that online. You can buy lists of names from mailing list companies like DataQuick, all of that. Or you can network at the local real estate investment clubs, like the Real Estate Investment Club in New York, right? you contact some, a third person contacts me, and let's use LaTanya, your daughter, and she finds out that I have a note. And I'm receiving monthly payments on it. And she contacts me and she says, Joe, I know that you're receiving, you financed a property for this lady, Teresa, and would you like to sell that deal, that performing note? And I may say, absolutely, can you give me a price? And now understand that Tanya may have, she has a funding source that she's going to send this to. And by the way, Note School, we also own a funding company that buys performing seller finance notes. And so LaTanya would not have to have the cash to buy this because all she's going to do is broker this. So let me set up the scenario. So LaTanya calls me. She says, Joe, you've got this, you own this note. Would you like to sell it? I say, sure. And I know that I'm going to have to sell that $90,000 balance at, say, a discount, okay? Because let's look at it like this, Teresa. If you're paying me over 30 years, is a dollar today on, what, January 3rd, 2014, is it going to be worth as much as a dollar, say, in 20 years? Absolutely not. And, we've came up with a great analogy at Note School, and when people ask me about having to take a discount on a note, we put it like this. Take $100 and go to Walmart. Everybody can relate to going to Walmart, right? So you take your $100 today, you go to Walmart, you get whatever it is you get a basket full of stuff, maybe. But if I took that same $100 bill to Walmart 20 years from now, I'm going to get a whole lot less stuff, aren't I?
Yes.
I may get a small bag full of stuff, okay?
Right.
So now I can wait and I can get that $1,000 a month, but let's say LaTanya sends the information on my note to a funding source like Colonial, and the funding source offers to pay $70,000 cash for the $90,000 balance. Okay, let's back up there. Let's say they offer to pay $74,000 cash for that $90,000 balance that you owe. And so Latanya would say, okay, now before I call Joe back, the guy that owns the note that's receiving the payment every month, I'm going to back a fee off of that for putting this together, similar to what a real estate broker does, right?
Right.
So Latanya says, I want to make $6,000 on this. So Latanya calls me back, the note owner, the note seller, and says, Joe, I have great news for you. I know your balance is $90,000, but I have a funding source who will buy that $90,000 balance for $68,000. Now, I know what everybody is thinking. 90 minus 68, that's a $22,000 discount. And the answer to that is absolutely. Now, old Joe, me, I can either continue to receive that $1,000 a month, or I can take that $68,000 as a lump sum payment right now that I can put into another investment that I can make more money with. Does that make sense? I mean, you're looking at time value of money.
That makes perfect sense. And would that work also? I mean, I know you're talking about, you know a note buyer, but what if I, as an investor, I do creative financing, and
right.
I purchased a property on seller financing, and I need, you know, I didn't get everything in order, and I actually, it's getting ready to balloon, and I actually, you know, don't have the funds right now to actually,
right.
you know, pay the balance.
Right.
Could I, as a seller, now go out and I mean, I'm sorry, as an investor who's on a seller finance with a seller, I too
right.
can go out and find a note buyer or something like that to try
Absolutely.
To get my seller. Okay.
Absolutely. And you know, here's the great. And by the way, let's finish that loop there real quick. So here's what would happen. Joe, I own the note. I would get $68,000 cash to do whatever I wanted to with. Latanya, as the broker in this transaction, she would get the difference between $74,000 and $68,000. So she would get $6,000 as a fee for putting this together, okay? And you, as the property owner, nothing would change to you, Teresa, because, you know, even if somebody bought that balance, they can't change that loan. It's no different than, you know, one bank selling a loan to another bank. You just simply get a goodbye letter that says, Teresa, you no longer owe Joe every month. Now you owe Colonial Funding Group, and you'll make your payment to them versus making it to Joe. So nothing happens for you. You still make your payments on time. So could you sell your own note to a funding source? Absolutely. One of the greatest things about this, though, is investing in performing notes with your self-directed IRA. And when your guys come to our meeting there on March 12th, I'm literally going to show them how to turn $100 in their Roth IRA into $100,000 or more with no taxes to be paid on that. Because remember, when you invest with the Roth IRA, you only pay taxes on the seed, not the harvest. So they will. Everybody needs to hear this. So anyway, so that's one way you can make a broker fee. Teresa, you can sell owner properties, owner financing, every day to your buyers out there, and we also can do something called a partial purchase. Teresa, you can say if you sold a property to somebody else and you wanted to get some cash now, but you wanted to have the payments, let's say it was a 240-month or a 20-year payment stream. You financed the property for 20 years for someone. You could sell off 5 years of the payments. So for 5 years, you'd get a lump sum of cash, and another person would receive, whoever you sold it to, would receive those payments for 5 years, and then you would have the remaining 15 years coming back to you. So there are many different ways to make money in the performing side. One is brokering. Two is being able to sell your properties as an investor very quickly. And three is showing other people that are thinking about selling their property, seller financing, how to create a note that has a high cash value. And let me just tell you a quick story before we move on. Up until about 5 months ago, I thought I had seen the worst note that a seller had ever created. And it was somewhere out in the Midwest, and a guy that was in his 70s sold a property to another person, okay, for $70,000 with no money down at 4% interest for 40 years. The amortization schedule was for 40 years. And there was no balloon. You mentioned the balloon a few minutes ago. There was no balloon in the loan. So can you imagine what that note would be worth, waiting 40 years, especially for a 70-year-old guy? I mean, that's just crazy, isn't it?
That's absolutely insane.
Okay, so I had a student of ours. Name was Frank. Great guy. I've gotten to know him really well. He sends me a note back, I think it was in July or so, and I thought it was a joke. In Atlanta, Georgia, there was a gentleman that had sold a townhouse. Now, one thing with seller financing, Trace, if you were selling a property, you can get full price for it, full appraisal price or full BPO price, because you're offering seller financing. And many times you can get more than the property is worth because you are offering seller financing. It's a huge benefit. You know how what you've got to do when you go to a bank now and try to qualify for a loan. They want everything from you, your DNA and your first child and everything. So Frank sends this note in that he was going to broker, and the property, the townhouse, was worth about $95,000, and the seller sold it to someone for $100,000, which is, that's great, okay? So it was worth $95,000, he sold it for $100,000. But as they say on those commercials on TV, but wait, okay? So he sold it with no money down. He sold it at 0% interest. And they amortized the loan for 50 years with no balloon. Now, that buyer got a great deal, didn't he?
Yeah, excellent deal, yes.
Could you imagine? The monthly payment was literally $187 on a townhouse that would rent if you were to rent it out for $1,000 a month. So it's just nuts. So anyway, one of the things that you offer too is when you're in the note business, you will know how to create a note, not like that. Because literally, Teresa, if I were to buy that note as a note buyer, we use that Walmart analogy. Okay, so we talked about 20 years before. Now we're talking about, 45 or 50 years out. What would that same dollar buy you? You can make money by showing people how to create a note that has the highest present value when they sell that particular note. So it's a thing that if you're going to be a real estate investor and in today's time and in the market that we're in, you really need to know about non-performing notes, how to acquire property with non-performing notes. But you also need to know about seller financing and how to benefit yourself from selling properties with seller financing, maybe brokering a few deals, and knowing how to create something that is a win-win situation for yourself as well as the person you're trying to sell it to.
And I think, one of the things that I like most about what I'm hearing about the note buying business, and, it didn't really dawn on me so much until, now that we're speaking, is that you can become a socially responsible investor because you can help homeowners one at a time, because you can create that win-win solution when you can try to keep homeowners in their homes. If it's a situation where the borrower can't afford to stay, you can, help that homeowner move or get another place that they can realistically afford, while saving them from that whole F word called foreclosure. So by doing that, I just think that is phenomenal. And not until you got on this call, Joe, I can honestly can tell you speaking with you, and I'm sure it's an aha moment for a lot of investors out there, is that you can do almost anything, you know, with a note that you can do with a property. I can, from what I'm hearing, I can flip or wholesale the note. I can rehab a note, you know, turning a non-performing note into a performing asset.
To performing note, absolutely.
I can refinance the borrower. I can sell the note. I can borrow against the note, most likely, which is known as a collateral assignment. That's phenomenal.
And you know, Teresa, you took the words right out of my mouth, because I had actually had in my notes here that I wanted to mention. It's exactly, you can help people one at a time, one at a time. And that's really what, you know, I mean, I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but that's really what this country is all about. You know, it was built on people helping other people and not depending on, you know, the government and places like that. If we can buy these notes, these non-performing from these hedge funds, and we can, you know, modify and keep somebody in their house, that's a wonderful thing. Or if we, you know, can get them out of that house. I mean, I can tell you that if even if I have moved out of the house and just abandoned it, you know, because I couldn't make the payment on it, you've got to understand that when those people go to bed every night, they're thinking about, I still own that house. I don't live there anymore. I've moved on, but I still own it. When they get up in the morning, they still think about that. But you can take that off their mind so they can move on. And really, sometimes the best thing you can do is, you know, let somebody out of a situation that they just can't afford. And then, you know, being able to sell or finance and acting like there's nothing like it. I mean, it really is a phenomenal, you know, one-on-one business where we can all make a difference in what's going on out there and pull ourselves out of this whole thing that we're in.
And I'm so happy to have you on this call, too, because now that you actually explain, you know, the non-performing and the performing, and I'm sure people are coming out to our March event here in New York City just to hear and get a better understanding on how they can actually get involved in this. But the first thing that I know I would have, I have no time, and I'm
right.
Busy as it is. And the last thing I want to do is create another job for myself. So if I got into the note business, you know, would I have to do the work, you know, by myself, or is there companies that's going to help with the process? How does this whole thing work if I wanted to get into the note business?
Great question. First thing is you know, we try to teach people that if you can carve out, you know, 5 to 7 hours a week, you know, on a few hours to work on some of this, you can literally make a full-time income on a part-time basis. That's number one. You got to be, you know, you need a little bit of time, and we've got some time that we waste, so we can carve that time out or kind of redirect some of that. But Teresa, there are companies out there that have popped up because of all of this. Servicing companies. There's property preservation companies that have popped up. Some of the, you know, the few that come to mind. A company in California called Trio. There's Allied. There's but there are many companies out there that will service these loans for you. So instead of you having to make sure, if you buy a performing loan, for instance, to make sure that the monthly payments are being made on time, the property is being, the taxes are being paid, and the insurance are being paid, for about $15 to $25 a month, you can have a third-party servicer come in and service these loans and take care of them for you. They can send out, you know, delinquent letters and so on. And companies like Trio that's in Orange County, California, that's one of the companies that we use all the time. And it's FCI, by the way, FCI. I know Michael Griffith, who owns that company in California as well. But they will literally, if you buy a non-performing loan, and let's say you're in New York and you buy a non-performing loan in Ohio, they will literally take the process. They will contact the property owner. If they can't get them by phone, they have contracts with people all over the United States, so they will literally send somebody up there to knock on the front door. They call them door knockers. We call them boots on the ground. So they will go up and talk with whomever it is that's there. They will take care of making all of the contacts. They will take care of the foreclosure for you if you choose to do that. If you then get the property back, they can contract to help you sell it. They can contract to have somebody come in and do the rehab on the property as well. As a matter of fact, that one of the notes that I bought in Milwaukee, I called one of the component servicers, Trio to be as exact, and
because I bought it and then it was coming into winter last year, and they went in and winterized the property for me and boarded it up until we can get through the winter so we can get this thing through the process. I had to foreclose on it, but it was okay. It didn't take but 3 or 4 months to do. So anyway, yes, there are companies out there that will take care of that for you and manage that whole process so that you don't have to.
And what type of person or who should be doing this type of a business?
Well, you know, I'm going to give you a jaded view of the not a jaded view, but a selfish view, and say that really, Teresa, anybody that's that is interested in real estate investing really needs to do this, because you know, let me back up here. I bought my first property when I was 19 years old. That's been about 12 years ago. So no, it's been a long time ago. I'm in my mid-50s now. So anyway, you can do the math. But I bought it, my first property, when I was 19. And, you know, I still have a passion and a love for buying and rehabbing properties, just as everybody that, you know, that is a member of your investment club should have that passion for doing that. What this does, it completes that circle and makes you a whole investor, so that you not only know the bricks and mortar side of that, you know you can buy the property and you can, you know, rehab it and you can resell it or you can rent it or become a landlord or whatever you want to do, but this takes the other side of that, because we know that, you know, I can buy a property instead of me becoming a landlord, I can sell it and do seller financing. And I just receive a check in the mail every month instead of having to worry about what are the three T's they always talk about in landlords, tenants, toilets, and turnover, right? So it's much better for me to be the lender, be the bank, than it is to be the landlord in a lot of cases. So, you really, if you're going to be in the real estate business, I think that to be successful, especially moving forward with all of this, I think that everybody that's going to be in the real estate investing business needs to know this part of the business as well. It just makes you a whole investor where you can see the big picture and you know everything that's out there. Not you're going to leave money on the table every time you do a deal.
And what about the idea about training and, you know, Note School, that's the business that you're in. So I want to know, you know, if I go online and I go and see, they offer Note School training. I mean, they all offer Note training. And, you know, I need to know why Note School and how is Note School different than others in the business? What would you provide me if I said that, Joe, I need you to train me on this business because 2014 is my year, okay?
Right.
What makes you different?
Okay. Let me answer that. And first, let me just say we have at Note School, and you can go to www.noteschool.com, and you can go check us out there, and great website, and see what all we're doing and where we are. And we offer a couple of different trainings. We offer a training on the non-performing side of the business and on the performing side of the business. And, you know, we'll be talking about that when, you know, at your club on March 12th. Now, where do we distinguish ourselves at Note School than other trainers or seminars or gurus out there in the business? And I have to say this, is that we are in the business every day, okay? We are in the note business. We, Eddie Steve, who founded Note School, started buying seller finance notes 30-plus years ago. I started buying seller finance notes in 1991, so 22 or so years. Kevin Shortell, who is with us as well, he did the same. He and I started a company called Charter First Funding back in the early 90s, buying and selling mortgage notes, seller finance notes. So we're in the business every day. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to sell a note, we own a company called Colonial Funding Services. It's been in the business for over 30 years and has a stellar reputation in the note buying industry. I mean, it's been there solid. We buy seller financing note every day. As a matter of fact, if you send it in, old Joe here is going to be the one that quotes or prices what we would pay for that note for you. It's kind of a specialized deal, you know, that we have, or that I have some knowledge that I can, you know how to price these notes. So we provide, not only do we do we teach the business? We're in it. We're not up there talking about things that can't happen. Because if I come to your club, Teresa, and I tell you that, hey, John Smith, it's in the group there, you've got a note you want to sell, I'm not going to tell you that I can pay you 100 cents on the dollar, because when you send me a note that's to sell and I send you a quote back for about 80 cents on the dollar or 75 cents on the dollar, says, well, you know, we're going to be very honest with you about what can be done and what can't be done in the business. So we've got the experience. We not only talk the talk, but we walk the walk on a daily basis. So we have everything in place. We can help you on the non-performing side. We take you through the process, and we're in the business, and we've been doing that for a lot of years. And I know that just makes all the difference when you're out there doing when you're doing something or learning something. You want to learn from people that do, not from people that talk about it.
I think that, you know, that is a great – we were just talking about that earlier here in the company. And basically, you know, people who come to, you know, Korea NYC and, you know, they think they know that because they went to some guru or some, you know, free three-day course, and, you know, now they think it's easy, I don't need help. And the next thing you know, they're reading the courses, and I look online, and they're offering, you know, a course as though they are an expert now, and they haven't even actually done it. So I'm always telling people to just be wary of people who are deeming themselves experts and gurus and things of this sort,
right,
because, you know, you need to be able to follow the people who have already done the steps that you're trying to do so that you can avoid the, you know, those landmines and things of that sort. So thank you for
that. Well, that's it. And you need to, you know, by doing the business every day, when somebody, you know, you come to me and ask me a question, I'll tell you the answer the way it is. And another thing that differentiates us, Teresa, is when we teach a class, we use real examples from real people. We teach by case studies. We know that, you know, to try to throw a bunch of adults in the room and teach them from a bunch of wordy PowerPoints is just, you're going to lose them pretty quick. So we take real case studies and say, okay, here's a real deal that's been closed, or here's a real deal that we couldn't do anything with because of this. You know, that makes a huge difference on how we learn. And you can see, okay, here's the property, here's the process, here was the problem, here's what we did to solve that problem. And I think that makes a huge difference. And it really, our students and the people that you know, come in or with us, they really appreciate being taught from case studies versus a bunch of theory about how something works. I mean, you know, it's the boots on the ground. It's, you know, what is it that Eddie says? He says, experience is what you get while you're waiting on something else.
Right. I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to be wrapping up, and I just want to, you know, find out, is there anything, you know, really important that you want to leave? If they got nothing from, you know, our show tonight, what one thing would you want our listening audience to actually know and take with them about the notes?
You know, it would be that there are ways, and we've talked about this, which there are ways to solve most challenges out there with anything that comes up with a deal that you're working on. I mean, sometimes the education is to know what you shouldn't do versus knowing what you should do. I mean, you know, that's just part of life, and saying, okay, I know this, I know I shouldn't do this, and it's knowing that. Because you don't know what you don't know until somebody that does know, you know, shows that to you. Okay, so, you know, having the education, you know, somebody used to say to me, you know, Joe, you think education is expensive? Well, try ignorance. It's a lot more expensive than education. But know that, you know, seller financing is a very viable way to use in this business. And just think about it like this. Years ago, before there was a bank on every corner in every city, you know, that's what people did. They sold properties using seller financing, and it's something that is well, 5 years ago, you know, it wasn't as popular again as it was, say, in the 90s, and then today, because, you know, Tricia, you know, if you could fog a mirror, you know, in 2005, you could get a loan, right? I mean, you had to, you know, there was nothing. But now that, you know, things have changed, you know, seller financing is a huge part of that. And all of the big institutions have, you know, they're on the bandwagon. As a matter of fact, FHA is selling non-performing loans now instead of foreclosing on. They've got they're going to sell about 75,000 a year for the next 10 years. They've got about 750,000 non-performing loans. So, you know, it's what you know. If you know what you know, then you can get out there and you can always make a deal and make it work. So, you know, to leave anybody leave you with something that you didn't know, and that is that, you know, the deals are out there. If you're going to be in the real estate investment, you just need to know what they are, because information is the key to any business that you're in, information and communication. So you need to know this stuff.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And, you know, I learned so much by this interview. And, you know, as a foreclosure attorney, even a financial coach, you know, and been doing this real estate game for a long time, you know, there's always something out there, you know, that you said, you know, as far as information. And I learned so much, you know, on this evening. You know, I learned that, you know, notes help me, because that's my biggest thing, to become a more socially responsible investor. It also gave me the understanding about the versatility of notes and what I can actually do with the notes. And the main benefit that I, as my personal investing strategy, is I can actually increase my own return on my investment, you know, on my equity when I sell real estate by offering terms, for example, holding paper or owner financing like you mentioned, which allows me to achieve the highest selling price, you know. These are some things that, you know, everyone needs to know, because and the note being a note broker, fantastic. And I'm definitely going to take notes on that, because I think that's what I want to do, you know, brokering.
And,
you know, I'm a real estate broker, you know, but I would love to broker some notes. So I think that might be my niche.
And by the way, you know, really there is no specialty license needed to you know, broker notes. There really just isn't. There is in California. The real estate, if you called the Department of State in California and asked if you needed a license to broker notes, they'd say, yeah, you need a real estate broker's license. So, you know, not really something that you need licensing for. And Teresa, I just cannot wait to get to your club in March and talk to you guys and just spend some time. And you know, three questions I always get to summarize it is, where's the inventory gone? Well, I can show you that. How do I get a higher rate of return on my retirement account, my self-directed IRA or my 401k self-direct? And, you know, what do I do? How do I make, how can I make extra money? And those are the things that we'll answer for you. And I'll show you that $100 model that I promised as well, how to take $100 in your Roth IRA and turn it to $100,000 or more. So I promise I'll show you that as well.
Fantastic. Again, I want to thank our special guest, Joe Varnador, for sharing his knowledge for our business and real estate listeners in today's economy. You know, if you want more information on notes and how to reach Joe, please visit our website at www.wealthzoneradio.com. Sign up for our March meeting. It's going to be fantastic. That's our time, and I want to thank all of you, my wealth audience, because without you, I wouldn't be here. Remember, financial freedom is not a mindset. It's a destination. This has been Wealth Zone Radio. Good night, and God bless. Until next time.
Thank you.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wealth Zone Radio, your premier venue to educate and inspire.